Good morning, my dear Walking with Jesus friends. The calendar says today is Friday the 13th, and for some people, that will likely bring great anxiety and maybe even worry. In some extreme cases, some people may not even get out of bed today for fear of what may happen on Friday the 13th. But for us, people who build our lives on the foundation of God's truth and seek to walk with Jesus today, it's a wonderful Friday. And the scripture we're reading today, Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 80, seems perfect for Friday the 13th. As we step into the story, it's been almost 7 months since Zechariah had his mind-blowing encounter with the angel Gabriel in the temple holy place. Remember, you'll find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 8 to 20. Since that day, Zechariah has been silent, unable to speak, not even one word. Struck mute by Gabriel, you may remember, Luke 1:20. Now, all of us men reading this, think about that just a moment. Imagine, my friends, you've not been able to speak a word since Memorial Day. Wow! Because of what we find spoken by Zechariah as soon as he was able to speak, Luke 1:68 to 79, I believe Zechariah spent most of every day digging deeply into whatever portions of God's word he was able to get his hands on, trying to figure out what was happening to him and Elizabeth and what their future would be with this miracle boy growing inside of old Elizabeth's womb. I imagine he and she spent hours together praying and preparing. I would guess they were very anxious about the expectations of parenting the forerunner of the Messiah. Parenting is tough enough, but that level of parenting, oh my. Suddenly, Mary shows up at their door. The Bible doesn't tell us what type of relationship they had with young Mary, but it must have been fairly close as we look at Elizabeth's welcome of Mary in Luke 1, 39-45. Read it slowly and simply be amazed, my friends. Look at how the Holy Spirit of God is at work with both women. Look at the miracle of Elizabeth's baby leaping in her womb. Clearly, by the words Elizabeth spoke, she had a remarkable understanding of both her and Mary's pregnancy. Perhaps in the greeting Mary had given to Elizabeth, she had quickly explained Gabriel's visit to her and her unexplainable pregnancy. Luke 1:41. No doubt God was at work in a special way in the weeks they spent together. We see in Luke 1:56, Mary stayed with them about 3 months. I doubt they spoke of much else other than their two sons, soon to be born, and who they would become, and what their God-given purposes in life would be, and what role they as mothers would have in the lives of their sons. All of you dear ladies reading this today, I wonder if you can put yourself into their story, either Mary or Elizabeth. What would you be thinking and feeling if you were in their shoes? We don't know exactly when Mary spoke the words recorded in Luke 1:46 to 55, but it seems to me an overflow of a grateful heart that has been infused with a fresh understanding of both the miracle of her pregnancy and the significance of her baby. We assume Mary to be about 16 to 18 years of age or so maybe a little older, but that would have been a normal engagement age in the first century. I can imagine each day for Mary was filled with new learning, and her awe of God must have continued to grow day after day. No doubt Elizabeth was spending hours with her every day, teaching her, answering her questions, digging into the Old Testament with her, praying with her. May I ask a question of all of us? Have you had such a person in your life? Someone who knew God better than you did? And as you spent time together, you grew dramatically in your relationship with Jesus. Is there any better gift that you can give to someone than giving them what you've learned in your journey with God? I invite you to pray that God will give you several people who would like to learn of Jesus from you in 2020. Don't be afraid. Do what Elizabeth did. Just share what you've experienced, what you've learned. As you read verse 57 to 66, I assume a big smile will come on your face as you place yourself in the story, my friends. Finally, the long-awaited day came, and miraculously, old Elizabeth gave birth. Now, any of you women reading this, perhaps age 70 and older, might be able to imagine what Elizabeth was experiencing. As wonderful as that moment was, even more significant was 8 days later when Zechariah and Elizabeth presented their child before God and the people on his day of identity. On this day, he was both circumcised, identifying him as a son born into the family line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. This child was a child of the covenant with God, found in Genesis chapter 17. This day, the baby was also given a name, not just any name, but a name of significance. Jewish families did not name their kids with catchy names. They gave them names of identity, of hope, of purpose. Usually, it was a name honoring some ancestor in the family, and almost always, it was a name with hope of who they might become and what they might accomplish. Not this time. Do you see the moment in which Zechariah regained his ability to speak? The people had heard Elizabeth say, "He is to be called John," verse 60. But no one had that name in their family. Luke 1:63 says, Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and to everyone's astonishment wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and he began to speak, praising God. I love that. He didn't write, "I think his name should be John." No, the baby had been given his name before conception. He'd been John for 9 months already. Zechariah's confident obedience was rewarded with speech. And look, please, at the first things he said, recorded for us in Luke 1, 67-79. Like water gushing out of a spring, what the people heard was an outpouring of 9 months of study, prayer, and reflection. I wonder what you would have said if you were in that moment. While there may be other links, I believe Zechariah's statement in verse 76 is a direct link to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the final promise of the Old Testament. John was the one Malachi was talking about as the Old Testament came to a close. Gabriel said it in Luke 1:17. I see Zechariah's statement in 1:77 links directly with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5, which was written almost 700 years before. I see Zechariah's statement in Luke 1:78 and 79 link directly with Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, also written about 700 years BC. Now, may I encourage you to take a few moments and look up those scriptures and see if you agree with me in what I see and how these scriptures link together in identifying John the Baptist as the fulfillment of very significant Old Testament prophecies. Finally, my friends, every child is born with expectations. Would you agree? You were, and so was I. Look at what is said about John in verse 66 and verse 80. Everyone who heard this wondered about it and asked, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. Do you see it? Remember, Gabriel had told Zechariah, "He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on in the spirit and power of Elijah." I see that in Luke 1, 15-17. Do you see that reflected in what Zechariah spoke over his newborn son as a commission in Luke 1, 67-79? Have you ever wondered what was spoken over you in the first few hours and days after your birth? If you'd like a glimpse of what John was like, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1-11. I invite you, my friends, to spend some time today talking with Jesus. Ask him to show you what he had envisioned for you, who you would be, what difference you would have made in our world by this time in your life, and what he'd like to do in and through you with however many years he knows are left in your life. It will be an adventure, I assure you, if you walk with Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, I lift up these my friends to you. Would you help us to understand what would you like to see happening in our lives in these next years? Oh, we want them to be God-honoring years. In Jesus' name, amen.